Welcome to All the Smoke, a production of The Black Effect and iHeartRadio in partnership with Showtime.
Welcome back to All the Smoke. My guy, it's good to be back in, it's good to be back home.
My motherfucking brother.
We got someone we've been trying to track down. Was supposed to be our original guest. Y'all don't even know this. Dude was supposed to be number one, but we got him back
my other
a year later. Brother. Welcome, my man.
My guy.
Done.
What's up, my boy?
My guy.
Yes, sir.
What are you formally going by these days?
I mean,
how do you want the public? We can address you a certain way. How do you want the public to address you?
It's Meta Sandefur Artest. I took my wife's last name and my last name back.
Put
right?
it together?
Okay. Yeah, so when I got married. So
she's Sandefur?
Yeah.
And then Artel, okay?
Yeah, so she's Maya Sandefur Artest. I'm Meta Sandefur Artest.
Okay.
Nice.
You know what I'm saying? But Meta World Peace, you know, we, you know, I still go by that. Whatever. You know what I'm saying?
What transpired? Whatever. What made you want to change your name originally from Ron Artest to...
There's a lot of things, right? It's just like where I was at in my career. You know, I wasn't quite where I wanted to be at as a baller, you know, and then on a lot of different levels. So, and when things is getting in the way of basketball, it's like, that's what I love most than anything. So I'm trying, I just want to win a game. That's it, right, at that point. So just like trying to be a little bit different. I really like the sport. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to be who I wanted to be rather than who somebody else thought I was. That's
Straight
it.
Up.
That's it.
Straight up. So currently living in LA, kids in college, married. How's life, man? You seem, your energy. I've been seeing you a lot on Instagram. Happy, posting, just enjoying life.
Yeah, I'm just happy, man. My kids is in college. My son, Jerron Artest, is a basketball scholarship at UC Irvine. He's a computer science major,
mm-hmm.
which I'm very proud of him. I'm like, anything you want to do, just do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I'm saying, don't be worrying. He can shoot, mm-hmm. lights out, can't leave him open. So whatever. Ron Artest is pursuing business in Northridge, yeah. CSUN, mm-hmm. and basketball mm-hmm. scholarship. My daughter's in college studying, and my other daughter's about to go to college. My wife has graduated and pursuing acting and modeling.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And that's it. Everything is good.
I heard you went back to school and tell us about that.
Yeah, I went back to school, man, because I had to learn.
To SC, USC?
I went to UCLA for digital analytics.
Okay.
And social media and coding. And then I went to Concordia Irvine for business analytics.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And then I was in Vancouver. I took Google Analytics, a two-week course of Google Analytics.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm like, as an athlete, we want to, you know, sell merchandise and do different things. So I'm like, if I want to really get in, I have to learn
the process.
I always tell people, Ron's too smart for his own damn good. I used to always tell people, that motherfucker's smarter than you think.
For real.
I used to tell everybody that.
Then, I just wish I was a little bit more positive throughout my career. And I'm really lucky to have friends like you, I'm not gonna lie. You know what I'm saying? Because I didn't have a lot of friends because I always want to compete. You know, I just want to mm-hmm. play harder. I don't even care about anything else. You know what I mean? So, but
We got it.
No, it was amazing. You're someone I always, even though we're the same age, I looked up to you just because of the way you played. You played hard. It didn't matter. Mm-hmm. You just play hard on both ends. Play hard, tough, and that's, you know, what I tried to do. And then, I mean, running into him, y'all ran into each other. I mean, we're all cut from the same type of cloth, so it was an instant connection. We got to play together, so it was dope.
Yeah, I ain't know a lot of things about you, because it's like listening to the interviews and mm-hmm. y'all talking a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know a lot of things. It's crazy. You don't know what your teammates are going through, and then Lamar was going through his stuff,
right?
And I'm like, yo, no matter what you're going through as an NBA player, that's why I love LeBron so much. Because I'm like, no matter what you're going through, you always with your team, because it's a different journey as an athlete.
Yeah.
It's the whole LeBron still married, mm-hmm. right? Like different things like that.
It's like, everything right.
Yeah, these younger ones inspired me. I'm not going to lie.
That's what's up.
They inspired me a lot.
We learned on the fly. I think they learned a lot from us, because you think about it now, like the business of basketball wasn't around when we came into the league. It was about jewelry, cars.
Yeah.
It's always been about women. But now they're talking about, they're talking about like business and investing right from the jump.
Yeah.
And that was kind of the turn of our era to these younger kids. You know what I mean? So you always learn. But it was hard, not for us, because it went from like a drug league to like getting clean to getting a lot of money and None of us ever had no money, so they didn't
tell us. I know, it was a different lifestyle.
And you got a team full of that.
Yeah, yeah.
Tricksters.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, my God. This is
trick in. Trick in.
Man.
Yeah, we tricked in. Oh, my goodness.
Damn sure did. A whole bunch of nights.
That was definitely the lifestyle. That was like.
Yes.
Right. That's what it was.
It was one or the other.
Someone was bound to do it. If you wasn't going to do it, someone else would.
See, nowadays,
I don't miss it.
See, nowadays, they go to the club. They got one homeboy with money, and it's about eight of them that's around him that's just trying to get what they can. But when we was in the club,
it was all bad.
It's 10 to 12 millionaires all from the ghetto, all having a good time. They weren't ready for that.
Now I be seeing, you know.
Hey, remember how we used to be when we played in the Bay when we was the Warriors? It would be funny because the football dudes would get there first and try to get all the women in the club to be in their area. And when I promise you, we walk in smoking, getting our section. Over with. And how does it go? Everybody, even some of them come to our section. Like that shit used to be.
Yeah,
it used to be wild, bro.
I love y'all squad.
Yeah, that was fun. You used to come fuck with our team.
Well, I came in it.
In the locker room? You was everywhere with us with the We Believe team.
The playoff. Y'all was just doing amazing stuff.
Right.
And I'm just like, I got to be there. I need to be front row.
He showed up to the game, came in the locker room, all kind of shit.
Can you imagine we would have had him, though, to guard like the Boozers and the Millsaps?
Oh, it's over.
We would have won. Yeah, we could have went to the finals.
We could have went to the finals.
We would have had you.
I ain't going to say we would have won it, but we would have went to the finals.
Maybe.
We would have went to the finals.
I was still pretty good at that time.
That's crazy. Still pretty good that time. You were still kidding me. You was averaging what, like 20 over in sack at that time, right?
Yeah,
20 something.
Yeah. And I was a little bit out of shape too. I came back from the brawl and I got traded to sack. I was 273.
Damn.
I told Rick Adam and I was like, yo, I don't think I can play or contribute right now. I said, maybe let me get in shape, man.
How good of a coach was he? Did you like Rick? I liked Rick.
I love Rick.
Good dude.
I love Rick.
Good dude.
Yeah.
When you hear the word Queensbridge, what's the first thing that comes to mind?
Man, when I hear the word Queensbridge, a lot of things, man. Just like good, bad, you know, like, you know, Nas, Mobb Deep, Capone. Because that's like Queensbridge rapping music. MC Shan, Tragedy, Roxanne, Shante, Quan Mega.
That's a big part of your upbringing.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Nature. You know, it's like really amazing. I got stories with everybody.
Yeah.
So it's really crazy. As a kid, you're a fan. This is unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know, you see Nas walk through. You see Cormega. You say hi to Mobb Deep.
That's the Mecca.
This shit is unbelievable. So I'm like, how did y'all do this? How did I make it? This is crazy. So I have so much. I see inspiration every day.
That's music royalty too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'm a huge fan. That's why I play the music. I'm a huge fan of the music part.
Mm-hmm.
The Queensbridge and. You know, and that's why I rap. People are like, why you rap? Come on, that's the dumbass question.
Where you come from?
Right. That's what it's about.
I want to be like that, right?
Right.
I want to be like Nas. And then I'm like, my family was selling crack, you know, in the same floor where Havoc used to live at, like right next door. And Havoc come up.
Had Mobb D.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, it's plenty of times we was in the crib, po-po coming. Don't say nothing.
That's crazy.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So. There was a lot of shit like that. I was gonna flush the drugs down the toilet one time. My cousin said, "You better not."
Can't take that hell.
Yeah, so I was like, "This is crazy right now." It was a lot of shit like that, you know. That my older brother went to jail 10 years drug trafficking right when I was going to college.
Yeah,
he was super smart. He got a company called Leafy Run Logistics right now. 10 years, but he's a brainiac.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it's crazy. You know, my other son's a computer science developer. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I knew he was smart, but. Moving drugs on a Greyhound bus. You know what I mean? 10 years, no negotiations.
He was, you know what I mean?
So we knew we was going somewhere, and I knew I was going to need my brother with me.
Mm-hmm.
He's smart, and I'm wild. And yeah, when he went to jail, I just had to latch on to other people. You know what I mean? But they're my peoples. Like, I really feel like we had a great time. We had a great fucking time.
What did all that teach you? Like, what did it shape you? What did it, when you started going to these other cities, you're in Queensbridge, and then your basketball talent starts taking off, and you start traveling the world. Like, what did Queensbridge teach you to be ready to take on the rest of the world?
You know what? It took always a lot of other people, because, like, right before I was going to high school, I was going to my brother's school. My brother had beef. I looked like my brother. I'm the same height at that time. I go to school, these niggas run up on me, Latinos. So I'm hitting niggas, you know what I'm saying? Running to the principal's office. I'm like, oh, wow, this is crazy. You know what I'm saying? They said, when you come, we're going to fuck you up, right? So I stayed at school till like 5 p.m. I ain't leave. got out of there, went home, told my parents what happened. I didn't want to call my parents because my dad had come up there. Honestly, my dad
would come up there. Shut it all down.
And I seen him do it to drug dealers. Dad, please don't do that to him because he's dangerous. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? So, like, I got out of there, but I'm like, shit, I'm playing ball then. Riverside Church, Eric Barkley,
yeah,
Cody.
Mm-hmm.
And niggas got me up.
Reggie Jesse.
Then they gave me a scholarship to where Shamgar went, LaSalle Academy. For 4 years, I ain't had nothing. Mm-hmm. So that's what happens. You know, that's Queensbridge. You know what I'm saying? Like,
talk a little about the church team, though.
The Riverside Church team was dope. Lamar Odom.
Mm. When'd you meet L.O.?
I met L.O., he was 11 years old. I met him in DS Park in Woodside, where Dave East crew is from. Yeah. His peoples is from.
Yeah.
And that's and then we had like Raheem Johnson. Raheem Johnson was a beast, you know, at that time.
Yeah.
Lamar was on Raheem Johnson team. Raheem Johnson was better than us.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And Lamar would probably say the same thing.
Yeah.
Raheem Johnson's better. Raheem Johnson, Shea Cotton. That's that level.
Yeah, yeah. We all know about that.
Raheem, you know, was in and out guy, you know.
Was Kevin Morris with you?
Who?
Kevin Morris played with you?
He was a 1 year older.
1 year older.
He was your, yeah.
Yeah,
we had a hell of a team.
Reggie Jesse,
Vasil, yeah. Hetchimov.
Hey, remember Vasil? Y'all had a mob.
You know Vasil.
From the McDonald's game.
Yeah, you know Vasil.
But y'all had a mob at the church. I always tell people.
Elton Brand.
All on the same team. That was unreal, bro.
It was a crazy team. It was a pro team.
I didn't know.
Listen to me, bro.
Yeah, I didn't know.
When they walked in the
team,
we like, man, what is this?
Yeah.
Oh, come on, man. Put our shit back on, man. We out of here. I went to beat them, dog.
We was being about 50, 60 in the championship game. Every night, every time.
Anybody beat y'all?
Just Baron Davis' team.
Who was on BD's team?
Jaron Collins, they beat us by 20.
Yeah. They smacked y'all, huh?
Yeah, but we beat them in a championship game.
Okay, you got them back.
By 20.
same tournament?
The same tournament.
That's crazy.
They had a squad, though.
But Baron Davis got a different story. That's my brother. So let him tell his story.
Yeah, we ain't happy.
Brandon, you should tell his story. That's my brother. I ain't gonna lie.
We ain't happy yet.
Okay.
You mentioned music and how that instrumental that was in your life. But who are some of the hoopers you look up to from your area?
From my area, Vern Fleming played for the places for the Pacers.
Vern
Fleming from the hood.
Yeah.
He an Olympian, Chris Miller.
Yeah. Vern Fleming.
He from the hood. My cousin who was going, he went out in jail for a lot of drugs, but had a baby with his sister. With his sister.
His fam.
That's my. Then I played for Vern with the Indiana Pacers.
Yeah, it all worked
this
out.
This nigga head.
Yeah.
Oh my fucking goodness.
It was, yeah.
That's my Michael Jordan, right?
Yeah.
This is unreal.
That's
what's up. On some other shit. So, wow. And then Sean Green played for the Indiana Pacers. He had bounce from Nas Block.
From Nas Block.
This is different shit that people don't really know.
Yeah.
And Ronnie Williams from Mobb Deep Block had a tryout with the Celtics. Word. And then we had Mel Kennedy play with Rick Carlisle at Virginia. Mel was nice. Asked Rick Carlisle about
these all the players Mel you looked Kennedy. Up to.
Yeah, from my hood. We got more. I got more, too. I got more. Y'all got more, too. I'm sure y'all got ballers. But this is crazy at this point. I got so much inspiration.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Vern Fleming and us, this is crazy, right? As a kid, man. And then, then from that level, then we had some ballers like Mike Chatfield. Mike Chatfield passed away in a drug deal. This nigga was nice. He was my man. He beat me 32-2 one time.
You know what I'm saying? So, 32-2.
Whip that ass, huh?
Two, right? Boy, nice. And got hard. He's in the streets though.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he was the best. And then he went to jail. And then I came. I was the best in the room after that.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike was in jail for 3 years. Came home when he was 18. Still nice, but couldn't go on the right track.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's my dude. But I wound up playing with his brother in high school for 4 years. I averaged 25. His brother averaged 22. Mm-hmm. Eric Chatfield.
Mm-hmm. With all that, with everything, everyone knows what Queens is about. What kept you as straight as you possibly could be, considering the circumstances?
It was crazy. You're trying to just weave in and out,
right,
man. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, I was always a good kid, right? But it's so much crazy shit going around. You could be influenced by anything at any point in time. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Playing ball. Shots go off. You know what I mean? You know, and it becomes normal. So, you know, when the different type of people you interact with, it's how you're gonna feel you should act.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that's where, you know, but sometimes, like, when I got older, I used to do math problems. I used to buy math workbooks. and just do fucking man problems. Word. Because I don't want to go back upstairs. Because it's like, I don't know what it's done to do right now.
Right.
I just try to stay focused. Anything. So it's different things like that. I met my first wife. I met her when I was 15 on Mobb Deep Block. Just to give you perspective and everything. Not to keep name dropping. I met her like in May, and then I didn't see her again until the next May, same block. And that's when we got together.
You know? A whole nother year.
Yeah, a lot of shit. I was thinking about it the whole time. And then a lot of shit happened at that point. Mm-hmm. I wasn't thinking about girls, just only basketball. Mm-hmm. And I was like, fuck, let's just have a baby. You know what I mean? We had three amazing, amazing kids. Mm-hmm. You know, throughout that time, it was crazy because, like, I got really wild from that time. You know what I'm saying? So. But now it was different things that I would do as a parent.
You learn on the fly. There ain't no real book to this. It's all on the fly.
What do you consider wild?
Wild is not being home, mm-hmm. not taking your kids to the park all the time. Have time for your kids, yo. Mm-hmm. Their wife want to go to the mall. Go to the mall. Mm-hmm. Put something together. Like, it's little things you could do because you're going out anyway, partying, and you're working anyway in a fucking club. Harder than you would work just taking your family to the mall.
Yeah, be more considerate of your family, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And still have a good time, yeah. By the way. Yeah. Figure that one out. That's how I know. You can try it.
You live and learn, man.
Stack Jack can help you. Yeah. Matt Barnes can help. You can probably help.
I think I've accomplished that.
Yeah, you can help. Yeah.
I've tried.
You know what I'm saying?
You landed St. John's, Mike Jarvis, 2 years there. What was that experience like for you?
Mike Jarvis? Yo, Mike Jarvis, he's a great guy, man. So, like, when Fran left, I didn't want Fran Fraschilla to leave, but I'm just training. I'm not thinking about the business of college. Mm-hmm. You know, so I'm just, like, practicing hard. One day, Fran Fraschilla gets fired. Why? The guy who got me in shape. The guy who almost killed us in practice. Like, pushing us. He's fucking crazy, this guy. And people thought that he would do wild shit. He would do wild shit. I'll let him tell his story.
In Fran, practice?
Everywhere. Talk to Fran. Y'all should have him. All the smoke. It's my guy, but he was wild, but I love him because he pushed us to the limit. Mm. And we was getting muscled. I was like, oh, this is crazy, right? I'm about to play some ball. And he was really, you know, he's a passionate guy, but he left. Jarvis came, like an NBA coach more. You know, we were still balling. We were still balling, actually, yo. It was crazy that year. Because then Tyrone Grant was a senior. He broke his wrist. We thought we was going to win it all that year. You know what I'm saying? So we were still nice, but I thought Fran started that. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
I thought Fran, because it's the same thing. But Mike Jarvis did add value because he's a more of a family guy, like going to the house, his wife cooks soup when you're sick. You know what I'm saying? Like family.
Yeah.
More than the coaching, he did it all. Mm-hmm. I thought he was an NBA coach. I'm like, I think he's more suited for the NBA.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I didn't think, you know, so. But that's how it was.
Yeah. 2 years there, I still remember your press conference. You said something like, yo, I got to go get this money or some shit like that. What'd you say?
While I was in college?
Nah, yeah, your press conference announced you was going to the
league. Oh, yes.
He said something like, I got to go get this money. I remember that shit. I remember watching it on TV. I don't remember your exact words, but it was some ill shit like, I got to go get this money or something like that. What did you say?
Yeah, because I was like, I had a baby at this point, you know, and I said, I needed money. I got diapers and I want to move. And there was stuff like that. So I just said, fuck it, let's go to NBA. But I wanted to try to win a title. We lost to Ohio State. Michael Redd killed us.
Scooney Penn, yeah.
They killed us. They were so nice, but they deserved it. We lost by 2 points to go to the Final Four. So you guys know that would have been an amazing experience. Yo, what was the furthest you've been to in like, college? Well, you didn't go.
We went to the Elite Eight.
The
college I signed with my freshman year, they won the national championship.
Ooh, Mike Bibby. Yeah.
Oh, Arizona, that's right.
My freshman year that I was supposed to be there, our class won the national championship.
Wow. But you went overseas, right?
Yep, 2.5 years.
Man, that's amazing.
So
that's crazy.
Coming from New York, was it a dream of yours to play for the Knicks or you just wanted to play basketball? Didn't matter where?
Oh, man. So many different things. I wanted to be a Knick. Absolutely, I wanted to be a Knick.
Absolutely, to be a Knick.
Man. That's why I'm happy for all the smoke because I get to talk about it. You know what I'm saying? Like, sometimes I want to talk about it. Like the Knicks, man. Because
they passed, like they picked someone else.
Yeah, Wise. Yeah, they picked this guy. Whatever, I didn't care. Even if he was better than me, I didn't care. But I'm like the 15th pick. And I was telling my agent, I want to go to the Knicks. tell these other teams, please.
Don't fuck with me.
You know, but I was a kid. I didn't know how to express that. But this is what happened to Nick. I was going there. I'm going to tell you exactly. I fucked that up. I'm going to tell you how I fuck it up. So by this time, I'm partying hard because I know I'm about to get run into some cash. Right? Tripping. So I'm out. I got fucked up at Flamingo's. I was at Flamingo's. Got twisted. Go back to the hotel. So I'm drunk, and I can't make it to practice. I can't make it to the practice, yo.
To the workout?
To the workout.
To the next workout?
Yeah. To the workout.
This tripping.
I tell these dudes, yo, I can't make it. Like, can I please come next time? Can you just have me back?
That's what I told them.
This motherfucker talk. Crazy. That's what happened. That's what happened, right? So I'm like,
crazy,
in my
man.
Mind, I'm thinking I'm going to the next. So it don't matter what I do. I'm going to the Knicks, right?
Regardless.
This is me right here. I'm going to the Knicks. I ain't doing here. Then I went to the next, 16th pick. I was a Chicago Bull.
Yeah. Mm.
But the Knicks, I was like, wow, I always picture myself in a Knicks jersey.
What pick did the Knicks have that year?
At 23 years old. You know what I'm saying?
They had the 15th pick. Oh, so right before, the Knicks picked 15th, and
yeah, the Knicks
they didn't pick you. The Bulls picked you next.
The Bulls picked me next, which I was happy. You know, Michael Jordan is, the history.
Right, right.
You know, I was like, well, I just compete,
New York or Chicago, yeah.
Chicago was an amazing experience. Amazing experience. You know, so I had the Knicks shorts under my suit and the shirt.
For real?
Yes. Yes.
So you was going to come out in already in uniform. Already in uniform.
I would fucking take the shit off.
He was ready to go. Hey, when's tip off? You just grabbed him. Let's fucking go. Could you imagine we would have got to rip his shit off, though?
That's how I felt already. About the Knicks. I feel like I could have
backed
up.
Even after you said, fuck, I can't make the workout. It was...
Yeah, it's like, it is what it is.
I'm still running from here,
what
right?
He said, it is what it is.
What you doing, man? What you going to do? We wild.
Right,
we nice.
Straight up. Right, we nice.
He said, but we nice.
We're trying to win a title.
Hell yeah.
You figure out how to put the team together to win the title.
Hey, that would have been big, though, because they always miss on draft picks. Imagine someone from there.
At that time, at 23, I thought we would have been playoff contenders in New York.
Who was on that team at the time? You recall? That was, 99? Was that 99? That was your rookie year?
99. But I still respect them players.
They made a run for the finals around that time, right?
They did. I feel like I could have backed up Sprewell.
Hell yeah.
They lost to San Antonio in the short season, 99, the short season.
Yeah. Just play some defense, get the hell out of the game.
Hell, can you imagine Ron coming off the bench?
50-something games.
But it's also, like, I don't want to down the Knicks. I love the Knicks. Like, I know people talk about Dolan, whatever the case may be. I'm a Knicks fan.
Right.
So I'm like, I'm a fan, like a real fan. Mm-hmm. So I want to see him do well. You know, always, even the years that I wasn't there, I was always like real.
The what ifs. If this motherfucker didn't get drunk at Flamingos, he could have been a Knick.
Yeah, Flamingos.
Crazy. That's unbelievable. That's classic. So Chicago Bulls, like you said, rich in history. Michael Jordan, Pip. Yeah. You guys got a good young team there. EB is there too, right? Is Elton there? Elton's there, right?
Because Elton, yeah, he got drafted the first pick.
Yep.
Lamar went 4, and I was 16 all the same year.
On the same year. I was on a church. Oh, my God. I told you that team was crazy.
That's sick.
That was an amazing experience.
I heard a story about you being drafted and playing for the Bulls and then going having a side job at Best Buy. That
Circuit
was real,
City.
Too. Or Circuit City.
Yeah.
That shit was real.
It was real.
Just because you wanted the discount on the electronics.
Honestly, I was just trying to stay out of trouble. I was like, having to do that. I was like, fuck, man.
Right.
You was hooking everybody up, though, with computers and shit, though.
I'm tripping.
You was hooking everybody up with computers and shit.
I heard you was chilling in Chicago hood.
Yeah, I got a good discount. I got a good discount, man. I was like 50% off. I went, when you at that time, first, you got some money in 99 or 2000, you're buying DVDs.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So now I can buy 10 DVDs. This is crazy, right?
The plug.
Right, this is crazy. I can buy fucking a stereo, anything the fuck I want right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like that. That's like crazy. That's crazy. So, I want the TV. I'll give me that TV.
At a discount.
Half off. I'll take half off.
And
that.
I get half off?
Everything.
Oh, and then I got two of my boys a job there.
Yeah.
Kit and Cedric, my boys that was with me. Today's got a job. This is crazy.
Y'all got the house full of everything,
boy. Oh, man.
Y'all was
popping. What did the team say?
Well, all right, so when I applied for the job, I got the paperwork applied. Get
in. I get the guy. I ain't never had a real job in my life. I worked at like a bagger for a week for my dad's job. But I ain't never had no real job. This motherfucker's filing paperwork when he's in the
industry.
Yeah, I filed and gave it to him. I had the job. And then I got out to the media. And then, you know, Jerry Krause, my guy. I love Jerry Krause. He's just like, listen, you cannot be fucking working at Circuit City.
Can't have you fucking working at Circuit City.
That's Jerry Krause.
Get the fuck out of here, dude.
Oh, man. I was like, all right, you're right, Jerry. You're right.
Can't have you fucking working at Circuit City, Ron.
I love Jerry, man.
Oh, shit, my face hurts. God damn. So your first taste of basketball, what's NBA like? Who's the first superstar you ran into?
First superstar that I ran into
like
playing?
That you had to guard, yeah. Like, wow. What was your first introduction to?
Oh, my first game was against the Knicks.
Was it?
Yeah, I had 15 points. It was crazy. Or 13 points. I had a three-pointer. Oh, wow. Sprewell, Houston.
Mm.
Oh, wow. That's crazy.
He was going at him.
Yeah, I love those guys. You know what I'm saying? Just like everybody talk about Jordan there. These guys are amazing.
Yeah.
Did you take it personal? Like that they were the Knicks and they didn't draft you, so you was on your...
I tried to compete. I competed that game. I tried to do my best. Elton came in the league, cooking, averaging 20.
Yeah, he did.
I averaged 11. I averaged 12. You know what I mean? Elton was nice. You know, so that was just amazing. Like those guys, and then I got a chance to guard Iverson. You know, I can't remember the exact numbers, but I always think about like how did I lock somebody up. That's what I be thinking about. I don't know what you think about, like when you think about your career, mm-hmm. maybe how you were shooting, mm-hmm. or how you was like.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe LeBron's like a star. Kobe, RIP, our brother Kobe, he's like a star. He's thinking from a different lens,
mm-hmm.
you know, to get some gratification. So, like, how much did somebody have against me?
Mm-hmm.
LeBron, he averaged 25. LeBron came into the league, first game in Indiana. Oh, so pissed. First game in Indiana, he gave me 25.
Mm.
He went to the fans and said, this is your best defender, right? I heard this, right? I'm fucking furious.
I know you're furious.
I walked the other way. I'm like, this kid is great. I got out of this kid. It's fucking really good. But I'm super fucking pissed. He disrespect me. And I want to walk up to this motherfucker. And, you know, he bust my ass. Yeah, right?
He done to all of us.
You know, so he, you know what I'm saying? First game.
Mm-hmm.
So that was like, wow. This is crazy. So I really was, that's why to me he's like, I had that type of experience. Jordan gave us 40 also.
Mm-hmm.
So that was crazy. Jordan comes into the gym, 40. Oh, my goodness.
This is Wizards Jordan, right?
The Wizards Jordan. And I'm just competing, playing hard. 40. So that was, like, kind of crazy, man. So, you know, it was a lot of guys that was, I like, I didn't realize Stack was that good. You know, I'm watching your take, because mm-hmm. you are a team player. Yeah, people know you. Like, you are.
Definitely team player.
You are a team leader at his best, right? So he's going to sacrifice, and he going to give you what he got.
I just knew we was going to get a chip together.
When I left, I'm like, oh, I didn't realize you was that good. But me and him was arguing about who was going to guard the best player.
Every night.
Yeah, me and this guy. So he took the pressure off me. That's why I was averaging 24. Because like, you guarding all the best guys.
But the ones that was bigger than me, like I would guard the two guards that could move. But the two guards that was twos and threes, like Paul and all them, you go on, Ron. You got them.
Eat them up.
I'm gonna chase Rip Hamilton and all them around. But the bigger guards.
Yeah, you did do that, yeah.
Yeah, I give them the run. I let Ron and then Ron will wrestle them down too. I just knew we was gonna get a chip, bro.
Y'all had a hell of a team, man.
Man, that year was our chip.
Yo, we had a hell of a team that year. I still loved that year. You know, I still like, I haven't really like kept in contact with the players. I wish I would have done that when I look back at that. It's like, you should just go to lunch, go out. I know you don't like your player right now. You had a little issue with practice, but let it go.
Yeah.
Let it go, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like that type shit.
Yeah.
You know, because I know Jamal Tinsley from New York, all the shit. But we came to practice, we was on the same page.
Y'all was that was really your closest friend on our team.
Who?
Jamal.
Jamal was really absolutely. Yeah, he was on the team.
But like even when like you would be going at odds with all us, Jamal was the only one that understood you. You're a lock away from us, but some type of way you'll be over there talking to Jamal. Like Jamal always had a relationship with you, bro. But I think he had a relationship like that. His relationship like that with everybody on the team.
He did. He's a real leader. Like I don't think I gave him. Well, actually, no, that's not true. I was gonna say I don't think I gave him enough. Like. Respect, like do your thing, but that's not true.
Yeah,
we was team players.
Nah, he ran our team.
No, he ran the team, and he was amazing at it.
Yeah,
yeah. I thought he was really, really good. And he was getting better and better and better. And then obviously Jermaine was a great leader.
Yep.
You know, I always thought Jermaine was a great leader. I always thought, like, you know, you compete to be the best, but sometimes, like, if it's two really good players on the same team, like, emotionally, publicly, like, you don't have to compete, right? Just play the game.
Mm-hmm.
But you can still do things like come down, take the rebound, and run off a play.
Yeah, yeah.
Anytime you want.
Do the flow of the game.
Do what you want, right? And leave all the other stuff out.
Right.
You could totally coexist.
Right.
You know? You totally coexist. But when they gave the contracts, I was a little upset at the contracts. You know what I'm saying?
That's
I'm
where, like, it started.
You know, and at that time, when you hold a grudge, you feel like everything is against attacking you.
See, all this is happening, you know, in the year before I come.
This is happening the year before
the year
you
before
come.
I get before there. You, all this, all, like, let's say, yeah, all this happened the year before, yeah, I come. The contracts, the Eastern Conference Finals against Detroit, the where it started, all, yeah, that happened the year before I got there.
But the thing is, that it's still a lot of money. Like, if the NBA team offer you money, like, and I see this happen with a lot of players,
mm-hmm,
not just me, who get mad over a contract.
Yeah.
And start being disruptive. I'm definitely not the first one.
Right.
But I would give it, my advice would be like, yo, whatever money you got, somehow that's what you deserve.
Right.
Right? Because it is what it is, business. So I didn't think about it.
You
like
get what
that.
You negotiate.
And you're still making a lot of money. Right? You know what I'm saying? You can still have a good, it's still a lot of money. What the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So when I look back at it, I wish I would have addressed things a little bit differently.
Yeah.
But we still on
the court. Our starting lineup, me, you.
Yeah, we had a great team.
J.O., Jeff Foster, Jamal Tinsley.
Great team.
Then great we had team. Everything on the bench.
Jeff Foster was always, he competed well against Ben Wallace. I felt like Ben Wallace was always great, as we know.
Yeah.
But Jeff and Ben would.
They competed. They competed. Yeah. They both play hard. They had similar, yeah, games. Yeah, Ben, yeah, was just, yeah, Ben was just a little bit more athletic, but they had similar games.
Similar games.
Yeah.
So you get to Indiana what year?
Should I get to Indiana?
I get there 2005.
You get there 2002?
I got traded in 2002. 2001, yep. 2002 in February, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I got traded in Miami. I was doing a lot of wild shit in Chicago. Jerry Krause says enough.
Mm-hmm.
And Indiana just said, all right, we'll take him.
What was that experience like being traded?
It was tough. We, you know, a lot of ups and downs there. I love Chicago.
You didn't go far. It was right up the street. Indiana's right up the street, yeah.
You know, at that point, then I had, you know, my son Jerron came at that time, mm-hmm, so I was raising some babies, Jerron Artest, and he lived with me for a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
So I started out, you know, with my first wife, Kimsha.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So then I have, you know, 4 kids total, you know, so it was a lot of transition at that point, you know, and especially somebody that wanted to be a good parent.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, I love my babies, I'm not tripping, I'm happy with all my babies.
Right.
They live with me, you know what I'm saying, mm-hmm, right now. You know, so we're cool, but not having time with your kids is like,
yeah,
not good.
Okay. Yeah.
It bothers you, right? So I was like, but at the same time, I'm doing it as best as I can. Like, I wanted to raise them, so we was together for a year and a half with them, you know, and then that relationship went south. You know, everything mostly because of myself, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Everything mostly because of me, and then you know, I started taking parenting classes. In Sacramento, just trying to do things a little bit differently.
Mm-hmm.
So parenting, counseling, marriage counseling, anger management.
Man, they had me and you doing counseling in Indiana. Man, I ain't want to do that shit, man. Okay. They had both of us doing that shit,
you was doing it also, huh?
Yeah, they had me doing that shit too, man. She was wasting my goddamn time.
I feel like it helped a little bit.
I mean, me.
I'm not gonna lie.
It was cutting into my smoking time.
Hey, this Ross, I feel like it helped me a little bit. Actually.
I'm not gonna lie. Give me all that.
Bro, yes. I gotta ask you this question.
Yeah.
So please walk Matt through the Source Award situation.
Oh yeah, I'm so happy we're talking about that.
Yeah, please.
I'm actually really happy. Thank you.
Because let me tell you what I remember.
Yeah.
After practice.
Mm-hmm.
We in the huddle. We had a great practice.
What city you in?
Huh?
What city you in?
Yeah, we in Indiana.
Oh, yeah.
Season ain't started yet. We in damn near training camp still.
Okay.
Yes, we are in the mix.
We had a great practice. I'm talking about we looking like a championship team, yeah, early. 1, 2, 3, team. One more second, y'all. You know, I really think that at this time, I know the season's finna start. I know we got championship. We think about winning a championship. But I think I need to take some time off to finish my rap album. And I was like, you know what? To myself, I'm just myself. I just love the fact that he had the balls to say it.
I can't
even be mad. You know what I'm saying? This is what I'm thinking. You know, I ain't thinking, season ain't started yet. So I don't know where this gonna go. So my mind
is- your first year there?
This is my first year there. I'm just getting on the team, right? So you know, as soon as I get on the team, the first thing I do, tie a red bandana around my locker. That's the first thing I do.
God, yo.
Let y'all know I'm here. Right?
Yeah.
So he said that. The first thing in my mind was like, I'm just meeting him, so I'm not even mad. I'm like, this motherfucker is a legend. You know what I'm saying? Because I see he's serious. Now you take it from there.
All right, I'll take it from there. Because, like, all right, yeah, this guy would have his red bandana. I'm like, okay, this is my guy. This is definitely my guy.
So this is our locker room. This is our locker room. This is our team.
I mean, that whole situation with the Bloods and Crips, you know, like, I have personal relationships with people that I'm like, but I'm not involved in anything, never have, right?
Right.
Which is all good. Everybody has their preference. So the source was my grandma just passed away, right? October that time.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's crazy. At this point,
right?
Oh my fucking goodness, right? So I go to the hospital in New York. That's where the first place I go.
You showed up late. You're right.
That's my first place I go. And then you know, she was out of commission. She was out of commission at this point. So she held my hand, grabbed my hand. It was the last movement she made. And my mom and my auntie said, like, you know, we was all crying and stuff. And my auntie said, she was waiting for you.
Mm.
Really? You think so? All right, cool. I'm good. So at least I know I got a last experience.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, then literally when she passed away, it was no more gatherings. Like, she was the grandma who... We're eating lunch on Sunday in Far Rock in the hood.
Yeah.
Where my boy Stephon Barnes is from.
Far Rock is like
the New Orleans, New York City. You know what I'm saying? So, but we was there. And that community was an amazing community also. You know, like, I had a lot of great relations with Far Rock.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I'm like, all right, cool. We done grieving. How the fuck am I doing, nigga? What the fuck we doing? Who the fuck is Saucer Wars? Fuck. Mm-hmm. That's what it was.
Same day?
I was there for a couple days and got it in. We was in fucking Miami, man. Yeah. Fuck it. You know, I'm here.
He was like,
I'm not fucking getting in trouble. I'm here. Find me, man. Fuck.
This, man, look. He was like, man, I just feel like something I need to do. And Brick was like, man, we'll talk about it. Duh. So we like, in my mind, I'm like, man, Coach and I'm going to talk him out of it.
Yeah.
Duh. I'm watching the Source Awards.
Yeah.
Dunn finna give away an award. I'm like, he is a legend. He really went.
Somebody said, you want to do it? I'm like, you know what? I love rapping at this point. You know, I want to do both. I want to play ball and fucking be a rapper.
Yeah.
How I want to do it. And you can't do that as a baller.
Yeah.
Right? Like, we love, like, Damian Lillard, Kevin Durant, all these guys, Kobe Bryant, RPR brother,
mm-hmm.
Stack Jack, Baron Davis, Elgin Brand got some good music mm-hmm. that nobody ever heard that I've heard 30 songs.
BB. Got bars.
He's an amazing guy. So professional. Always been since he was a kid.
Yeah.
Like a leader.
Great dude.
Never in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, amazing guy. I played with this guy for 5 years. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he'd be solid.
So it was amazing. Just so many different experiences, man. Sometimes I heard Iverson say on the show, you know, I was watching like all y'all shows, Ivan was like, I forgot your question.
Yeah.
that's how I am right now.
The Source Awards.
Source Awards, yeah.
Like I said, I was watching and you was on there giving away award. I'm like, he really motherfucking went to the Source Award.
Yeah, I didn't think it was harmful because, like, you know, I was doing other things. You know,
we wasn't really tripping. Like, you know what I'm saying? It was a shock to everybody.
Trying to be positive.
You know?
How long until you came back to the team?
It took me, maybe 4 days, 5 days, maybe 3 days. So yeah, it wasn't that bad. Just
he didn't
me.
Miss a beat though. He was just
I'm
different.
I'm smart. It's basketball. It's a fucking play. At this point. I know how to do it.
Bro,
shit is easy.
Do you remember this?
But it was very disrespectful to the team, by the way.
Do you remember this? I think this was like a little bit after that. And this might have been around that time. Practice about to start. I'm talking about we in there warming up, nobody see you, nobody heard from Ron. We all done blew your phone up. You normally answer all our calls. Like, oh shit, man.
Yeah,
Where this motherfucker at, man? We in there. Rick, bring it in. We walk up, everybody. 1, 2, 3. As soon as we say team, this motherfucker hits the garage door. Boom!
practice uniform already on, Air Force Ones, church socks. Let's go. Let's go. I ain't stretching or nothing, bro. And got went to work in practice.
It's a ones? Op,
dog, it's some ones with church socks. No tape, no nothing, bro. Yo. I told my son, he said, 1, 2, 3. He bit the door hard. Boom. Let's go.
Like, I'll be at the club in Indiana until like 3 a.m. and we go right to the gym.
Time to work.
At that point in time, like, I was sharp at that time. So I was playing well, yeah. But, you know, I love the game. And I feel like I was always ready to play, so I'm like, I'm
that's
going
what we understood.
So I'm just like,
no matter what.
We knew one thing about it. Yeah. Regardless of what was going on, when games start, we can count on him on both ends. Mm-hmm. And it ain't too many people, you know what I'm saying? It ain't too many people in the league I play with that I can say that. I played on some good teams with me and you and beating some guys, the defenders that really approached the game with the same attitude. We all approached it the same way, you know what I'm saying? At all costs, we're going 100%. We're going to give everything we got. There's very few people like that, but we knew we can count on him, dog. And I knew, from me intimidating guys, I knew people were scared of him. You know what I'm saying? He getting 10 to 12 points just off layups because Jamal Tinsley is one of the best passers in the world.
Yeah,
so he's sealing.
Yeah. Jamal Tinsley made me
it's a post play we run where I run across the screen for him. If my man switches, the two guard on him. If the three guard don't switch, DeRon got him sealed under the basket. Jamal Tinsley just giving it to him. He laying up, getting 12 points a game.
Yeah,
like
Jamal Tinsley, like, he would have been great with LeBron.
Oh, my God. He would have been great. Yeah, you're
right. Even though LeBron had a lot of great point guards, I'm just saying, like, because the, you know, when you screening and gaining position,
yeah,
you know, all that shit, when you
he
really
gonna find you.
He just find you. All you got to do is go, yeah.
Put it in.
Like 8 points like that. I'll be forgetting
every
to give
game.
Him a lot of credit.
Every game.
Every game, he got me about 8 points.
You had a lot of guys that understood you, too, on our team. You know what I'm saying? We all come from the same walks of life, but, like, even when you go off the rail, you know what I'm saying, we understood you.
Yeah, yeah, and I really appreciated that about you guys. That's why when I won the championship with the Lakers, the first thing I think was Indiana.
Yeah.
I was going through a whole other bunch of shit at that time. Through that whole time, it was crazy, but I was getting through it as best as I can.
Donnie Walsh held us down, too.
Donnie Walsh, amazing guy.
He held us down.
Amazing guy. Like a dad, you know what I mean?
Yeah, he held us all down.
But that's one thing, I mean, you learn more than ever today is you just never know what someone else is going through.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and the grieving process and the understanding process is different for everybody. Like you said, you had to bounce to Miami to clear your head. You just lost your grandma. That was your clearing, and then you came back and went to work.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But you just never know on a day-to-day basis what someone else is going through.
Yeah.
That's why you try to be good to everybody if you can.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. But it was still – but everybody – every basketball player is different, right? We all know people on teams, so, you know. But it was still good to be, like, from a basketball standpoint, it was still solid. It was still solid, but I had to think Indiana because – I know as a kid I wanted to be the best, and I had a chance to be the best there. When I think about it, that's a big accomplishment for me, even though it went the other way. So I like always cherish that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Isaiah Thomas gave us this thing before that said championship. Like that's what everybody was thinking. I was a little disruptive. You know, they fired Isaiah at one point in time because there wasn't no chemistry between us. So, you know, but I got a lot of love for Indiana. I can go on and on about Indiana.
Yeah, ask a question, dog, because I got a couple more stories, so I'm gonna keep interrupting. Go ahead.
Okay. So I think we got to do more on this. We got to get in depth on this next question. I mean, the game against obviously it started in the Eastern Finals the year before. Jack comes that next season, and then you guys get into it with the infamous Malice in the Palace.
Yeah.
I want both of y'all to just talk to me about it. Because I remember where I was at the time.
We was busting their ass.
I was in Sacramento at the time.
It was a good time for us.
I was in Sacramento at the time, and we was at halftime of the game. And, you know, sometimes the TV be on, and all of a sudden we see a fight, and the whole team, coaching staff, and all, we come back in the game, and we're late to the second half because we're watching you guys fight in the crowd.
It was just mad. It was the tension. You could feel it before in the warm-ups. And I didn't know the magnitude of the – the rivalry between them two, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, I'm game. I'm down. This is the side I'm on. I'm riding.
You know, Riff
and Sheed, that's my boys. Even Chimes, that's my boys. I'm cool with them. But at this point, you know how we ride. Teammates. We on this side.
I'm sorry to put you in that position. That's why. Sorry for that. Because I'm happy Al Harrington wasn't there also. I don't know what he would have done.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry about that because I know you're a real one. And I know, like, if anything happens, you're going to jump in and – you know, and that's why I learned a lot from that. I don't take my friends out. Certain friends at that time, I always make sure we was in the best spots. And I would even have security come sometimes just to protect my friends.
Yeah.
And you're a real one.
You told me that right after that. I get to what he told me after that. But you can feel the tension, bro. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And like, I knew we was a good team everybody saying we could possibly win a championship. So this game against them.
Measuring stick.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And we end up, we blowing them out. We blowing them out, blowing them out. He had a great game. I had a good game.
Was that at the end? What part of the season was that?
This was like early. 19 games in.
This is, no. 15 games. Nine games.
November. Yeah, nine November. Yeah. November.
Not even Christmas yet.
Not even Christmas yet.
So, but we had we was like what, 4 or 5 games above 500 though.
Yeah, we was 7-2.
Yeah, something like yeah. So we was on a good start. I remember the end of the game. I'm at the free throw line. I turn around. I hear Jamal say something to you. Next thing you know, I'm like, nah, I guard Ben, because I didn't know exactly what he said. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? But I know it's some bullshit. Because Jamal, he had me on bullshit against San Antonio. I know. The team you play, if you got any type of shit you want to get off your chest during the game, Jamal's going to be the one to remind you. Okay? Trust me. He don't forget nothing. So I kind of him, and I'm like, nah, I guard Ben. Right? So look, I don't know what happened the year before that.
Yeah, but it was just... I'll tell you the story quickly, and then I'll
you
yeah.
said, I know you said, no easy baskets.
Yeah.
Even if we up 20, no easy baskets.
Just keep going.
And I just let Ben go by and score, because I'm trying to let the time run out. You know me, I'm trying to just let the clock, we get out of here. And Ron comes fouls him. And
it
I remember you said-
It wasn't a hard foul. It wasn't
It wasn't that hard.
It wasn't hard. That reaction was the same reaction I gave James Harden. Because I didn't really flush hit, and he didn't have a nut. It was, you can look at it closely.
I was right next to you.
Okay, you can look at it closely.
So you experienced it. Nigga, he dropped like a sack of potatoes.
I hate that image. It's one of my worst. That's something I hate that image. But it was like James Harden gave me a little nudge.
Mm-hmm.
Right? A little nudge. It wasn't that big. The same thing I did with Ben Wallace. Like, I should have never brought that up. But
what'd you
laugh? If y'all want to talk about it, I can talk about it, by the way. You know. But yeah, you know,
I'm laughing at Matt. What he dropped like Matt?
Sack of potatoes.
Sack of potatoes.
You know what I meant to do right there? So I meant to.
Yeah, hold on, let's get. We'll get there. I gotta fucking tell him right now.
Nah,
because you got suspended for the playoffs, and that fucked us up too.
You know, I didn't get suspended for the playoffs. I'll tell you what happened. I got suspended for 7 games.
Was that before the playoffs?
No. Yeah, 1 game, and then I got suspended 6 games in the playoffs, and I came game 7. It was tied up against Denver. In game 7, we won the game.
Mm-hmm.
But when he nudged me, because after I dunked it, I got the dunk, banged it. I was like, oh, shit, I'm hyped up, too hyped. Fucking Mike Brown. This is what's really happening. I'm not blaming nobody. I'm telling you the story.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, like, old. But, like, Mike Brown comes to me. I'm in Zen mode at this time, right? I'm trying to be a meditator. Like, Mike, it's not every, you know, when I play, I'm just straight face. This is it. I'll try not to get too excited this play. You know, because you know how you be dunking on people, you be like, rah, you be like, ah, you know, but I can't get that emotion. I don't, because it's like, it's too much emotion in the game. And I want to just play and that's it. I don't want no issues.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Brown says, yo, I need more energy. Come on, I need that rook, you know? So I got to dunk. Ah, right? And at this moment, James nudged me. I'm like, get off me. I thought it'd be like his on the shoulder, like just rub, get off, you know? Not like an elbow.
Behind the back of the ear and dropped
that, right? So that kind of hurt me a lot. But that was the same foul I gave Ben Wallace. But then if you see me with Ben Wallace.
You put your hands up.
Nah, I ain't put it up. I went like this. Because I was going to say, my bad. Right at that point. Because, and when he pushed me, I'm like, all right, fuck, Ben is mad. Right?
Right?
I wasn't trying to get Ben mad.
He was mad.
Ben was mad, and his parents just passed
away. Yeah, he was just dealing with a death, too. He was just dealing with death.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. He had just dealing with death, too.
You know what I'm saying? Which I was like, oh, shit, I didn't know that. I found out later.
Mm-hmm.
This is me and Ben Wallace beef. It's basketball.
Mm-hmm.
He's getting defensive player of the years, and I want that. That simple. He got 4. I got 1.
Mm.
Right? The year I was going to get it, I led the league in text, flagrants. Media's not voting for you. You know how that goes.
Right. Mm-hmm.
If you wild, then no awards for you, buddy.
Right.
So we was close. And then I came back and got it. The next year I was going to get it again. He got it.
Mm-hmm.
When I got suspended.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
He would argue that. Right? He's a great.
Mm-hmm.
That was an opportunity right there. So I think that's where, and we on the court, me and Ben didn't guard each other.
And we was busting their ass.
But sometimes me and Ben would get into the mix. So we had to push and see who's strong.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we had the two best defenders in the league. And I can't do what he do, rebounding. That's not what I do.
Yeah.
He's amazing at that.
Yeah.
But on this side, I'm like, this is me right here. I'm the best here. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, and I really hope he makes the Hall of Fame. Like, I really do, you know? He's a Hall of Famer.
Have you got a chance to talk to him?
I've never talked to him. He did say one thing, which I get it. He's a real one. But he did say, like, one thing that, you know, like, I don't care what Meta's going or Ron is going through. Somebody asked him a question, but he don't talk about it much.
Mm-hmm.
He don't talk about it much. It is what it is. It's fine. It's, mm-hmm. Everybody's different, you know, their personality.
Like, after he pushed you, we all knew.
Yeah.
Even when you're talking about, you say the therapy helped you, we all knew what you were supposed to be doing. Like, when you get to a point where you got mad or something, we all knew what you was going to do. You was going to go somewhere and sit down and try to calm yourself down. So we knew.
Thank you guys. Thank you
we
guys.
Knew you was finna do that.
Yeah, thank you.
You know what I'm saying? We all knew. No, the world didn't know you was finna go lay on the table. We knew you was finna go isolate yourself. But that's what we all knew that. So when you put the headphones on, and Reggie wasn't playing. So Reggie went right on top of it, right by you, and put his hand on your chest because we all knew, you know what I'm saying, what you're supposed to do. The world didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So everybody thought he was being an asshole. You know what I'm saying? By putting the headphones on. So that I think that pissed Ben off. Where he started throwing more stuff at him. And by
he
that
was
time,
actually throwing stuff at me.
The referees did a horrible job of removing him, though.
This is crazy at this point.
The referee did a horrible job of removing everybody. So what you was thinking of when that was happening?
Well, you know, at that point, he hit me in the eye. So now I'm like, yo, what the fuck? Like, this, and I'm talking to the referee. So anyway, it's too much commotion. The rest, I thought you say, you know, when somebody does something like that, you're like, out.
Yeah, and like, escort them off.
I've seen this happen before. I've seen referees go, and they sprint to a position where they get some space, you know, the funny ass fucking ref, and they go, out of here. You know these refs, everybody got their little moves, you know, these funny refs. Those are our boys, man. I love them, man. I have a great relationship with the refs.
Yeah.
But, you know, they really entertaining.
Mm-hmm. Very.
None of that. Where is that at? Where was that at?
So Ben's throwing stuff, and then all of a sudden, a motherfucking beer comes down.
Oh my goodness!
And you see, did you see who threw it? What hand was raised?
I thought it was Nolan Ryan.
How did you know what direction it came from?
I thought it was Randy Johnson or Nolan Ryan.
That was a perfect hit.
Man, they threw that motherfucker with precision,
right in the face.
Didn't waste nothing. Perfect. I'm talking about that motherfucker. Like, he followed through with that motherfucker. Like,
yeah,
for real, bro. I'm gonna let it dead on, dog.
Yeah,
it was from about six rows up.
Perfect hit. Perfect hit. definitely Randy Johnson. you know, there's only a few people that could, like Steve Nash.
A perfect pass.
Oh my God, dog.
But it was crazy because I was leaning in the direction this way. When I got hit, I was like, oh, this is bullshit.
Yeah.
I'm getting tired of this shit, right? So
that was the last
when
draw.
I turned, I saw where it came from. So at this point, I'm not worried about Ben. You know, I'm not worried about Ben Wallace at this point. Somebody just hit me with a fucking bear, right? So I turned. And this guy went like this, right? So I'm like, oh shit, you hit me. Ain't nobody hit a three right now. Ain't nobody hit a three. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Hey, it's not like Mike Tyson's in there, he hit a jab, he knocks out someone, and the fans is cheering. This is basketball.
Yeah, right, right.
So when I seen how you did it, simple math, man.
Right.
Simple math. Right? You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So I go after him. I ain't go up there to like hit him, bong, bong, bong. I went up there to shake him, like, yo. But real, a good shake.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Stern motherfuckers, yeah.
don't fuck with this guy. Right? So anyway, then the guy who actually hit me, that was John, he grabbed me.
From behind.
I'm thinking he grabbed me to be like, all right, fight's over, it's crazy. So I'm like, yeah, somebody please get me. And I act like I want to fight. Like,
he was sucker punching.
And then he stopped punching me, right? So I'm like, this is fucking bullshit at this point, man. You know?
All that's going on, I'm laying people out on the row above you. I done laid somebody out.
When I saw you, I'm like, oh, what did I get Jack into? Fuck. I thought about so much shit at that point. I'm like, this is fucked. He's suspended. We're going to lose a lot of money. I'm trying to get out of here. Oh, my goodness. I can't believe I lost some money. I'm going to have to pay him some money soon. Fuck.
Look, when you went wrong, it wasn't just me. The whole team. But, and when I got on that row, when he grabbed you, I got on the first row and I grabbed you too. But what they never talk about, Ron, is another beer came in your face.
No, oh yeah, yeah, that one was that one. I was really pissed.
And that's why I laid him out.
Yo, my God,
that's why I laid him out. I laid his ass out.
Yo, see, listen, I never wanted you to do that. Oh man,
I grabbed you first. Like when I got there, I grabbed you first. But as soon as I grabbed you, the other beard came. He was right in front of me.
I know.
I couldn't let that ride.
Had to.
I couldn't let that ride, Fi. I couldn't let that ride.
When I seen that, I'm like, oh my goodness, this is out of control. This is out of control. But why did you throw a beer in my face, man?
They started it, bro.
That's why you do what is going on here. That's what's like happening. I want to get out of there. Like we got bread. We ain't supposed to be up here. There's a lot of money to lose. So I'm like, let's get out of here. We upset right now. Go home to our nice houses and chill out. Let's get the fuck out.
We got hit with every refreshment. We got hit with every refreshment in the concession stand on the way out.
Oh, and then what's crazy is, oh my goodness, yeah, that was crazy. Well, actually, before that, the guy that comes on the court.
You get to tangle with him.
Come on, man. So I'm walking down, right? So I'm walking down. We never got a chance to talk together. And we on all the smoke.
This is our first time talking about this.
And we on all the smoke, too, right? So.
Word.
So I'm like, okay, I'm mad. I'm from Queensbridge, right? All right, cool. It happened up there. Nothing else is going to happen because no one's going to dare come next to me. Who would? Boom, these guys come. And I'm thinking like, okay, he's mad right now, right? I'm like, he's mad, right? I'm like, oh, yeah, maybe he's just like want to go, oh, maybe he want to go like, man, what are you doing, man? You know, like something like that, like a chest bump.
Right.
And I'd be like, man, get out of my face before I punch you in the face, right? He comes like this,
yeah.
With a fist, right? So I'm like, oh, shit, he about to hit me. But luckily, I know how to box a little bit, so I was in a stance, so I could just jab him with the right.
Bing, bing.
Bong, straight right. You know what I'm saying? So I gave him a straight right.
You gave him a good one.
I gave him a straight right, but it was water on the floor that whole time. Mm-hmm. There's a bunch of bear over there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Immediately when I see him, and I'm about to push him, I'm like, oh shit, if I try to swing, I'm gonna fall. So I just kind of let my foot just kind of chill out, mm-hmm. So I won't fall, you know? And then Jermaine see this. Jermaine comes in there
full speed,
man,
and still connects.
Thank the Lord, the ground was wet that day.
No, it didn't. It didn't stop nothing.
Yeah, but if he would have been able to follow through with no fall, he might have daffy ducked that motherfucker.
Man, he still left that bitch on the stretcher.
Didn't he?
Yes, bro. He still left that motherfucker on the stretcher.
So this is what's happening. People can see it, right? This is what's happening at this point. Now I'm like, oh my goodness, my same thoughts was up there. Same thoughts to Jermaine. Jermaine's a leader. He's a superstar. He's a superstar, right? And just like fuck. You know what I'm saying? This is happening right now.
know? It's like, going down.
We all gonna be in trouble for this.
Yeah.
Now, even though I know that was like it was a reaction. Like you're not gonna let your friends get hurt, right? I'm like, I'm kind of in the center there. I feel bad, but I see what they're doing, because I would have did it too. Everybody, I would have been up there too. Like, mm-hmm. If something different would have happened, right? Get the fuck out of here. We would have wild out.
Right.
You know, but the fact that it was you is like the problem. I feel like this, it was just like, I didn't expect that. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I know you didn't, because when we got in the locker room,
this
how I know you didn't expect it.
Jack told me this already.
Because we in the locker room, right? First, this is the first, so, you know, now you know how Jamal is.
Yeah.
He laughs at everything. I don't care if you shot and we on the way to the hospital.
As soon as he
find out you all right, he crying laughing.
Oh,
I'm talking about, so he come in the locker room, he crying laughing. And it's always like this, JT, me, Ron. That's how our lockers are always up. So this nigga, JT, he sit down, he's like, yo, I didn't know we had this many real niggas on the team. My bad.
Jamal Tinsley says
no,
it?
No, this is what he telling
Ron
me,
says
right?
It. Uh-huh,
so
yeah.
That's the Jamal. I'm talking about loud, bro. We just got in the brawl. He crying, laughing. So he come. Then Ron sit back. Yeah. He's like,
"Oh my God."
Then Ron sit back. He's like, "Jack, you think we gonna get in trouble?" I say, "Bro, trouble. But we might not have a job." He's like, "Yeah, you right, son."
Like,
yo,
that's
you right,
how it
son.
Was, man. He's just like, "Do you think this is my thing with that?" And he's so funny, by the way. When you the first time you said that, he was like,
"That's just how it went, too."
And yeah, that's exactly how it went. It was crazy.
Yo, you right, son. You right, son. Yeah, you right. Because it hit him. He's like, yeah, you right, son. You might not have a fucking job.
So you got how many games you get?
I got 30.
Oh, my goodness.
And you got how many?
Just the rest of the season.
82 or something. I don't know, 72, 82.
Mm. Some bullshit fucked up our whole season, man. We didn't deserve that, man. Because at the end of the day, we was at work. a beer came from out the stands while we was at work. He did his job. He had calmed down. The referees did a horrible job. Once Ben pushed him in the face, they should have did a good job escorting Ben, whoever else was involved, off the court. None of that shit wouldn't happen. But they let all that shit linger so long that the fans got into it. And they was able to throw the, you know what I'm saying? That shit led to all that shit. But if they would have did their job from the jump, you know what I'm saying? Because people get into entanglements all the time down the court.
Entanglements.
That's what it was.
Shout out to Jaden Williams.
Yeah, straight
up. Hey, so I mean, you know, we look back and we laugh now, but you spoke on this and we spoke on this before. I feel like as someone competing against you guys, that was a black mark, obviously, on your resume, and it held you back from a lot of accolades you should have received. Yeah, yeah, yeah. A lot more accolades, all-star appearances, defensive player of the year, first team all defense. I think there was things you guys could have did, and that was really a black mark on like your report card.
Well, especially with him, like, you know, I know I missed a couple, but we both know the player he was.
Oh, motherfucking monster. You know what
I'm saying? And he should definitely have 5 defensive player of the years and a couple more championships, but they overshadowed his great play by the little mistakes he made, but just being misunderstood. So we always misunderstood.
And you know what? You're able to be an example, and just like it's an experience.
Yep.
And we see it happen with human beings all the time, right? People go and do different things in sports. So many different things happen. So you know what? I was a part of one of those instances, you know, one of those problems and issues. Well, I'm a stat with that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But you just give back. You're an example, and you just give back. So it's like, I kind of enjoy the fact that I'm able to give back and help people with different issues and stuff they have in sports and different things. So that's how I look at it now. I definitely went through it.
Gotta learn.
So they won't go through it. Yeah. Huh?
Yeah.
Gotta learn from it. So the aftermath of the malice, you end up leaving. How long after that? When do you go to SAC after
that? The next year.
So now what happened was we came back. We was playing well.
We was balling.
We wasn't great. And I requested a trade. Because at that point, I'm entitled, and I'm a snobby little kid.
Was there friction in the locker room between?
No.
Because he was gone. We ended up making the playoffs. I came back. We made the playoffs. We made a nice little run. We would have had him. We would have made a run. He was just still a missing piece.
Mm-hmm.
But I was still going through things emotionally. I'm just like, every little thing bothered me. I was drinking a lot of alcohol at that point. So you think like alcohol could make everything better at that point, but it doesn't. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You're thinking like you just go out, party, and that's going to make everything okay.
Yep.
So things are still piling on at that time.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So I request a trade because, you know, I'm like, shit, I'm in a contract for 3 more years. A lot of things, everything's bothering me. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, just give me some money right now. And I'm thinking about that. I'm thinking about I'm playing also, and then a bunch of other shit.
Mm-hmm.
So then I requested
you and J.O. wasn't on the same page either.
I definitely didn't ever apologize to the guys. Like,
but it wasn't no problem. It's just,
you know what I'm saying? Like, it was a lot of shit that was happening. It was tension because it wasn't no problem. It was all in my fucking head. But tell you the truth,
because we didn't see no problem. We like, I didn't know it.
Well, for me, it was a problem. Like, not you guys, me. Like, I was going through so much, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm looking for excuses at this time.
Yeah.
To just escape, you know. But so I just requested a trade. The fuck are you doing?
Like, we was all. I was hurt.
You know what I'm saying? So that's what it was. And then I didn't apologize for that. Like, just so much shit. So I'm like, I need to get out of here. These guys don't like me. You know what I mean? Something like that. You know what I mean? And just trying to go somewhere else. I wish I would have went to Donnie Walsh and said, "Yo, Donnie, I did so much. I've been through so much here. I think you should trade me." Like, I wish I would have did something like that.
Yeah.
Rather than be like, you know.
Go to the media.
Yeah. The office is open. You can go. There's no locks on the office. You're knocking the door. The GM is going to come out.
Hey, but you know what? I'm going to tell you this because JL probably never told you this, but I know why JL was hurt. It wasn't because of anything you did or asking for a trade. It's just that the fact that, you know, how we all knew, especially him, wanting to win a championship, we knew with you, we had a great chance.
And
he knew that. You know what I'm saying? He knew that, bro. And our whole team knew, like, Ron leaving this motherfucker, niggas gonna be 20 times harder now. You know what I'm saying? We had a unicorn. You was a unicorn,
bro.
Let me give you your flowers. You know what I'm saying? Because this is what we like to have a lot of y'all on here. Bro, you was a unicorn. It wasn't nobody your size that could defend all positions and that could score on anybody every night. And when you left our team, like we all understood, like, damn, we losing one of the best players in the league, dog.
Big piece.
You know what I'm saying? And that was, J.O. never told you that, but that was, he was hurt because of that, because we losing something. We losing our season.
I know, I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
Like he was, because J.O.'s a leader, he knows, he's a real friend. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
If you're going through anything, you can talk to J.O.
Yep.
About anything.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, of course. But, you know, I felt like I was doing so much. I felt like nobody was ever going to be my friend. You know, shit like
right.
that, right?
Right.
You know what I mean? And I wanted to, like, I wish I could just, like, real quick, like, hey, I'm sorry about that.
Yeah.
And I move on. That's not, and I know there's a lot of people like that. Mm-hmm. That's why I love the NBA now. I got a different perspective on, you know, how these guys are friends.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? When I look at that, I'm like, yo, that's dope.
Mm-hmm.
Because we as ballers, you know, we going through a journey. We got kids. We mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. balls, like a so lot. Many things.
Yeah.
So I respect that. I wish I would have did that more.
Yeah.
So Sacramento, brief stint, get to Houston, Yao Ming, T-Mac. T-Mac talked about when you came, he was excited because man. He thought you could have been the missing piece to them, but then he got hurt.
And it was crazy. I was cooking at this point in time. I get to the Rockets, and before I call them, I don't want to put too much things out there, but it was money offered that it's okay, but I don't care mm-hmm. because, you know.
It's all the smoke.
It's all perspective, but I don't care. But I go to Houston thinking some things are happening. If I play well, things will work out. So anyway, I'm cooking, and I come in, I'm averaging 2 points, like 8 minutes a game for like 15 games. But I'm more mature at this point. So I'm going hard in that time, but I'm not playing. Shane is playing in front. T-Mac playing in front. So I'm like, damn, I'm trying to get a contract. You know how that go. T-Mac gets hurt. Mm-hmm. And then I come in. I think I average like 20 and come in there. Yao was cooking. And we was rolling. You know what I'm saying? We get to the playoffs. We beat my brother. I love Brandon Roy. He plays so well.
Yeah, Portland.
By the way, Lewis Scola, Aaron Brooks, all these guys, Kyle Lowry. These guys play well. But we beat that team in six. They had home court advantage. We go to the Lakers. We beat the Lakers by 20, game one. Yeah, it was unbelievable at this point. Mm-hmm. Lakers come back, beat us game two. Game three, we back at home. Yao breaks his foot, mm-hmm. game one. And we still go to game seven. I was averaging like 22 or something like that in the series. You know, so it was a good time. It was so I really cherish those moments because that's my trophies. I love basketball. Mm-hmm. I don't care. Like I really, not all the time talking about like shit, but I look at YouTube and you know,
right.
I try to enjoy what you can enjoy.
Absolutely, right. I don't think you realize it, and you got this much respect because like Jack said it, like you were hands down one of the best players in the league. Like you didn't get recognized or spoken on, but motherfuckers that played that thing know that you could put up 20 anytime. And you have the craziest hands I've ever been around. As far as you'll take it from you when you're right in front of you, when you're right next to us.
We had lost battles in practice.
Or when you get past you, Ronda lets you sometimes go past you just so we can wipe around and grab that shit. So
me and Matt used to shoot after every practice. We used to make like five in a row.
We went hard.
Like, with a bunch of spots. Yeah.
We would know. It was fun. So we're gonna get to that. So what was your? Because I know my incident with Kobe. He ended up calling me to get to the Lakers. You guys had an incident where you put hands on him during the playoffs.
No, I didn't
and then
do that.
It was close.
No.
It was close.
I'll show you. No, but I was like,
you guys got into it. Yeah. So what I'm saying was, so how did that end? Because you ended up with him the next year.
Yeah, my brother.
So how did that happen?
Year. So check it. So me and Kobe, you know Kobe's nice. You know Kobe's nice.
He kept elbowing me.
You know what I mean?
Same thing. And he was fucking me up. He hit me right here one time, knocked the wind out of me. I almost tried to fight him that game.
But we've done the same thing too, right? To people, right? So at this point, I get it. But I went to the ref, man. That's Kobe's my boy. But I go to the ref, I'm like, yo, did you not just see him do that? You know, I was like, he said, no, I didn't see it, right? So I go to Kobe, I'm like, my brother, I'm like, yo, don't you ever do that again, my guy. Blah, 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 right? And then Kobe don't care. Kobe focused on the game, right? Kobe's a killer.
Different kind.
He different, right? And I interviewed Kobe actually that year. I was in the league. I interviewed Kobe. I look like I was on Fox.
Dope.
I look up to Kobe. Yeah,
right.
But we on the court is what it is, mm-hmm. right? So then the next year, we took him to Game 7, hell of a series. Mm-hmm. He wins the title. I'm out at SLS Hotel with my boys. I get a call from my agent. They say, you want to go to the Lakers? They said the Lakers want to talk to you. And I said, for what? You know what I mean? What do you niggas want to talk to me about? But so then, you know what I mean? All right, man. These niggas just kick my ass and shit, right? So I wanted to go back to Detroit or Indiana. That's how I was trying to go.
Yeah, really?
You know what I mean? Yeah. Because I wanted to do something with some legacy. Like,
so you wanted to go back
let's
home.
Do something different. So I was, but they was like, oh, no, right away. I had no teams. You know what I'm saying? I ain't no teams. Pick, you know, I'm, like, disruptive. Now you think about it, like, if I'm going on a team disruptive, other players, other agents, like, this is not the best fit for none of us. You know what I'm saying? It's not the best fit for none, but some people think it's a good fit.
Right.
You know, so the Lakers was like, I said, all right, doctor, whatever they want, yeah. He said, sorry, we can't pay you more. I said, don't even worry about it. I ain't got no offers.
I'm here.
Word, real talk. You know what I mean? Don't even trip, you my man.
In first season, what is it like working with him day in, day out, and then you guys ultimately winning the title? Too. Absolutely,
yeah,
both of them.
Like the bus. Yeah, and Kobe, RP, my brother Kobe.
Yeah.
Word.
So you're there, you're a Laker now, you're working with Kobe day in, day out, and you guys win a title. What was that experience like?
It was amazing, yo. So he hit me up, you know, real quick, and then I think Magic hit me up real quick. You know, just get there. It was all business. I wanted to win a title. I was like, I never thought I'd be having an opportunity to win a title after all the shit I've done in the league. So it was just crazy. I'm just trying to do the right thing. I am doing the right thing at this point. I'm 29 years old. So practice was very competitive right away. Mm. You know how Kobe is. Mm. You know what I mean? And we was drawing. We had it going sometimes, you know, which I missed those moments with Kobe and him just playing very well and working hard at 5:30 in the morning. Seeing them, and first year we got a ring, you know, and that was it. It was so hard. One ring, mm-hmm. Stat got one.
Mm-hmm.
You got two.
Well, so you know, I got one you because got one. So I came the next year. So the next year, remember when the Orlando shit happened with the ball fake? I come the following year, but I just remember excited about playing with Cole, but excited about playing with you too, because I thought between us three, we're the three of the top 5-10 perimeter defenders in the game. So it was hell yeah. So I remember when definitely. Me and Ron would be out there doing our thing and someone might get a bucket or two, Kobe would always, man, I want to fucking take him. And then we would always try to argue with him.
We would try to argue
who was going to take who. So it was me, him, and out there. But one thing I remember with that team, though, practice were always really competitive, but you and Phil Jackson used to get into it a lot.
Yeah.
And Phil used to challenge you mentally. And you guys would go at it and you would talk shit back to him, too. I'd be like, oh, he just said that to Phil, but... You and Phil had like a unique relationship.
Yeah,
speak on you and Phil's relationship because it was unique. Like, Ron cussed this dude out about his feet one time. I almost shit on myself in practice, bro. This dude was insane.
Yeah. Phil's my man.
Yeah, Phil's a great dude.
Phil's the Zen master. Everybody know Phil. And he get under everybody's skin sometimes, but he's a great coach. You know, this is where we at. We're here together as coaches and players. He's doing his thing. And he can push your buttons in a way to, you know, get you focused and different things. And it's all for the team, all for the betterment of the team. You know what I mean? But we had a little issue. You know, he was talking about my shoes. He would call me cement feet, right? So Phil called me cement feet. I hated it. It got on my fucking nerves, right? So, and then everybody would laugh. And I know everybody laughing because they called me cement feet. So I got in his face one day.
Oh, shit.
I was talking shit to everybody in practice one time. And, I was like, yo, we almost beat y'all last year with the Rockets. Fucking bustle all your ass. Phil was like, enough is enough. I'm like, no, it ain't enough to say it's enough. And not in people's faces, but not like this, but just like walking.
Yeah.
Like, just like talking like this, not like that. Because I just talking like, because I was competing against everybody at this point. Because these guys are good, and I feel like you're picking on me, and I feel like you don't think I'm nice, and I'm only averaging 5 points. There's a lot of shit that's building up at that point in time. But that's just going to my head. That's what's going on in my head. But, you know, me and Phil had an issue. Phil don't hold grudges, though. I'm so happy he don't hold grudges.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so happy he understand, like, what you're going through, mm-hmm. as long as it don't escalate. I seen a lot of players get into it, Phil, and how he handled the situation.
De-escalate is crazy, right?
He's not afraid. Phil's crazy, by the way. You ever seen Phil play?
Yeah.
You ever seen Phil Jackson play basketball? He played like us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hard as fuck, yeah. But you know what's funny? When I was watching The Last Dance and I was watching how he did stuff to handle Dennis Rodman, not that you're Dennis Rodman, but it was interesting because it made me instantly think of how he would do stuff to you and get a reaction out of you, but I would instantly even see it in practice. Like, it would be that fast, your switch would turn on. Or in the game, he would say some shit to you, you would stare at him, and you'd be superhuman. And it was amazing how he knew how to deal with everybody differently and got the best out of everyone differently, and he went about it different ways.
Yeah, he did. I thought he was great, man. I really was influenced. At that time, I was getting into Buddhism at that time because I was like going through all these phases of like faith and belief and things like that. So I was getting into Buddhism heavy at that time, and not heavy, but a little bit. Changed my name to Mede. I really enjoyed the meditation. I really enjoyed doing, you know, singing bowls, listening to Tibetan music, you know, things to relax you. I love it. You know, I'm influenced by it. You know what I'm saying? And that's why I love Phil so much, man. Mm-hmm. I really thought it was a blessing.
Absolutely.
You know, I thought he was a blessing, definitely.
Yes, great, great guy, great time. Yeah. You had a Showtime doc, Quiet Storm, with Showtime, with the family. Tell us what that experience was like. And
yeah.
I thought it was a dope, super dope to tell your story.
Quiet Storm is dope. Bleacher Report first came and was like, yo, we want to do a story on you. In my mind, I'm like, I want some money. What I want a story for? I'm not an influencer. I don't even want nobody talking about me. Yeah, I take the money. So we figured that part out. And then like, I'm like, what are we gonna talk about? Like, I don't even want a documentary at this point. I don't want a documentary. I want to just chill. But anyway, we get to it, right? Showtime comes in. I'm like, oh, this is crazy. This is what's happening. Mm-hmm. I'm like, damn. You know what I mean? So we about to do something real. But I really wanted some of my other friends from Queensbridge Music on a documentary.
Yeah.
Because when you talk on a documentary about...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's a little more. I'm like, I ain't trying to tell you what to do. Just listen to me. Listen to me.
You know what the soundtrack should sound like.
Yeah, I know what... Yeah, I know what the feel. You know what I'm saying? But it was still a great doc. See, when people are doing documentaries with networks, like, it's give and take, right? Network putting up all the cash. You know, listen... And you give your input, or they got a story, you got somebody telling the stories, they know how to do it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But so, with that being said, great experience at this point. We are getting nominated. We, you know, are on Hulu, like, oh, this is crazy. Mm-hmm. Right? From that standpoint. And then also, people said they changed their life. Some people said it changed my life. I'm like, oh, wow. Because people don't know I was going through all that at that mm-hmm. time with the doc. But at the same time, it turned out great. It was a great message. We had Nas music, we had Mobb Deep music, we had my cousin Capone in there, you know. But it was great. Quiet Storm, great experience. I think on the mental health side, I didn't want it to go. So it was supposed to be how I play ball, for one.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't think doing a mental health doc was going to work, you know. Or I didn't want to be a part of it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I was like, let's do basketball, but. It turned out great.
It was important. I think, you know, it's something that is, if you spoke on it, it was weakness, or you were showing weakness. But I think more it's coming to age now where you can speak on it and realize, like, you said throughout this whole interview, that amongst your job, which is basketball, there's always shit going on in your life.
There's always
something going on in your life. And I think people don't understand that no matter what is going on in our life, good, bad, in between, we still have to focus and try to be perfect on that basketball court because that's our job.
Yeah, definitely.
But it's so much that goes into that actually happening that people have no idea.
Yeah. No, it's true.
So the Lakers won a championship this year in honor of our brother Kobe. Obviously, rest in peace. I read somewhere, saw somewhere, you said you smoked 10 blunts and party like you was on the squad.
Let me tell you why I said that. Let me tell you why I said that, because, like, we've been through so much with this marijuana thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know? Hey, outside, we got to put the weed down. Back in the days, people were going to jail for marijuana. So I'm like,
yeah.
I really appreciate the movement of cannabis. I appreciate the movement.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I prefer not to speak. I prefer not to smoke, like, you know, on like shows like this, you know. Mm-hmm. I just don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
But I respect what people are doing.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I support. You know what I mean?
Right.
Has it helped you at all with, like you said, the mental health, mental focus, any of that?
CBD. I don't like the THC as much because the THC for me, it takes you out of your mind a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Not much. Anybody can, like, you can still smoke THC.
Mm-hmm.
I smoke THC sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But CBD, I like it better because, like, if you're, you know, working every day in the office, like, you don't want to be on THC all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I like, now they got options. And you see, like, Viola has options and,
mm-hmm.
you know, and different levels for your mood. And these CBD products is, like, amazing. Like, the whole thing is great. I think it's great. Some people don't. I think it's great. So that was all that was. Honestly, I didn't have 10 blunts. I had, like,
mm-hmm.
one or two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Happy for them to win.
I had the other 8, probably.
Yeah. If you needed help, I would have helped. Let's reflect on Kobe. Obviously, tragically taken from us, him and Gianna and the other victims in January. What was it like getting a chance to play with him and getting to know him better as a person?
It was amazing. I had a great experience. You don't think somebody's going to be not be here one day. It's really crazy. You know, he's an amazing player. I interviewed Kobe when I was with the Rockets, when we had issues on the court. You know, like, but I looked up to him. I wanted him to know, like, I want to interview you. Like, you don't understand as how I compete against you on the court. It's not how I feel about you.
Right.
So I was really honored about that. But we never did anything. But Fox put it together. I was like, can I please interview Kobe? Like this, right? And I did it, right? So, and it was a great experience playing with him. His hard work and just being alongside him. This is crazy. Like, you got Pippen was alongside Michael. Now, I'm not saying I'm like Pippen. Pal was more like Pippen than I was like Pippen. I was like a third or fourth. But I'm saying, like, it's amazing. While I'm doing it with this guy, he worked hard. He respects me. He's doing his thing. But, you know, he's also, like, giving you some shine in crucial moments when you didn't take a shot for a long time. He trusts you, right? So it's an amazing experience. And then I was able to have dinner with him and had drinks with him at the end of his career. Just like, talk about things. Never had these moments. So that was cool seeing that, seeing him, how he was with the young guys later in his career. Much more, like.
Oh, yeah, because you went back to the team, right?
Yeah, I went back to the team. He was more, like, had them under his wing. And, you know, and then to see him with his family was amazing. To hear him pass was, like, really devastating. I mean, I got a call from somebody I took to the game. Got a text that Kobe not here. I'm like, what? It's crazy. So I call him. I don't normally call him. Then I text Lou Williams and KG. I say, yo, did you hear this? And yes, this is real. This is real. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, I said, it's probably not real. Then, you know, we all went through it. We mourned. It was crazy. And he was so sad he's not here. But, you know, he's just an amazing guy. And Gigi and the Bryant family, shout out to Gigi and the Bryant family. I heard about your experience. I didn't know about these experiences that you had with Kobe, like on the McDonald's game, all this stuff.
Dope, right?
This is crazy. I just figured this stuff out. I was like, wow, you know.
Jack was so happy because Jack always talked about the McDonald's MVP. And he said at the very beginning we started the show, he's like, watch, Kobe will know. And sure enough, Kobe said, yeah, Jack, you didn't win MVP? I thought you won MVP. That shit made Jack happy as a motherfucker.
That was crazy.
I'm
for him to acknowledge that.
That statement.
Yeah.
Right? You know what I'm saying?
All I needed.
You remember it. Yeah, you remember it. Hell yeah, man. Absolutely. Rest in peace to Kobe, man. It was fun, like I said, getting a chance to play with you and him and just to see the competitive nature out of all of us. And even though, like, he was doing the bulk of our scoring and our job was to do what we do, he always wanted to do it for us. Like, no, let me take it.
And
you
was a good teammate, too, because you could play.
Yeah.
Because when Kobe was out, RIP, my brother Kobe, when he was out, we
rocking.
Played well.
We were rocking. We
was
rocking.
We was rocking. 26-1 game. Kobe, my brother Kobe was on the sideline.
Yeah, we was rocking. No, you move out. I mean, you know how it is. Anytime the star goes out, that means you're at least going to get 3 to 5 more shots, maybe more.
Yeah, my brother.
So it was fun.
Especially if you own.
Yeah. It was a good time.
That's like always, as a bench player, like, be ready. Just be ready.
You just never know.
Yeah, all time.
Quick hitters. Top 5 artists. I know you have a wide range of music. Who's your top, in your opinion, your top 5 artists?
Do they have to be rappers?
No, any kind of music you like.
All right, cool. So, I got a bunch of them. If I go top 5, I would go, like, Mary J. Blige. Okay. SWV.
Okay, we're on the R&B too.
I swear to you. And then I would say Nas, right? Nas is an amazing artist.
Absolutely. His last album is unbelievable.
He's an amazing artist.
I love it.
Shout out King's Disease.
Like Tragedy Gaddafi from Queensbridge. No artist, Lauryn Hill.
Yes.
Lauryn Hill.
Nice.
That's a good round out.
Yeah, so that's like,
hold on, let me ask him this. Who's your top 5 NBA rappers?
Oh, yeah, thank you. Top 5 NBA rappers, Shaq, number one. All right, then I would say.
Shaq gotta be the GOAT.
I like Lou Williams a lot.
Yep.
I like Lou.
I love Lou.
Okay, so Lou Williams.
I've been
Williams.
To all Lou listening parties and everything.
I would say Chris Copeland.
A lot of people don't know about Chris Copeland.
Chris Copeland, nice. Dame Dolla.
Okay. Have a name in there.
I go Dame Dolla and I go with Victor.
Victor Oladipo.
Yes.
Does he do R&B or
does he rap or sing?
R&B.
He does R&B.
R&B.
Shout out to Vic, man.
He dope. Burr, he dope. And I really have probably listened to the music. And I also, so that's top 5. You put me on the spot, but I like Lonzo. Zo's nice.
I never heard Zo.
Zo Ball, yeah. And you got some stuff. We actually did a song together.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I feel like
Bagley's nice too.
Yeah, it was. I love music. I really like it. I like the athletes that are pursuing music.
I like the athletes that put their music out.
Yeah, and I put it out too. Yeah,
I don't just rap. Everybody rap. Just put it out.
Just put it out. Yeah, don't hold on to
throw
it.
Throw that shit out.
Your dream starting five to win a playoff series.
Wow.
With you on the court. You plus
on the court?
You plus four.
All right, cool.
Who you going to war with?
Oh, okay, cool. So me, I hate these type of questions. So people I play with?
They don't have to be.
Period? Mm-hmm. All right, me Stack. Mm-hmm. I go me Stack. That's cool.
How we ride. You know we ride. Okay. You know right, cool, we gonna
cool.
ride.
All right, cool. And Matt, you my man too.
Yeah.
All right. I ride with Matt. So I got stories, but this is about me, I guess. I'm here. I don't know. Okay. All right. So me and Stat, I would go Kobe, Yao. Yao's a beast.
Who's your four?
That's four right there.
Mm-hmm. Who's your four man, or just?
Oh, who's
player?
My four man?
It don't have to be four man. Who's your other? Who's your fifth player?
We can play the point. Shaq, Kobe, somebody bring it up.
Okay. Yeah. You need four, one more player.
I can play the four. One more player. I would say. Will Chamberlain.
Ooh. The host. Will, me, y'all,
and Towers.
Let Will play the four.
Oh, my God. Nobody's scoring on us.
Yeah, no, that paint is thick.
Me, you, Cole, Will, y'all. My God.
That paint is thick. Five best ballers from NYC.
Oh, wow, that's a great question. Joe Hammond. Mm. That's an easy first answer. And then Luau Cinder.
Luau.
Oh, man. Well, I'm not going to say Michael Jordan from Brooklyn. I would say it, but...
He's from Brooklyn.
He is from Brooklyn, but I'm not going to say that because he's going as a baby. All right, so from New York City. Yeah, Chris Mullin. Chris Mullin had a really great career in New York City. Mm-hmm. When we're just talking about the city, and then Kenny Anderson as a New York City guy.
Yeah, legend. Unbelievable.
Kenny Anderson, give me time to think. You know what I mean? Kenny
Chips.
Anderson. Kenny Anderson as a New York City guy had an amazing run. I think that's five, because, you know, Joe Hammond was one of the best from New York City, and everybody knows, we don't have a lot of video, but you hear these stories, and from what I hear, Joe Hammond was, like, probably the best, but, you know, a real legit player. Obviously, we all know the story with P.B. Kirkland, he had the tryout with the Lakers.
So Felipe Lopez was big.
Oh, wow.
He was a monster. My man.
Growing up.
Felipe should be in there.
Yeah,
he's in there, actually.
Felipe's
he's
in there.
He's in there. I'm tripping.
He was nice.
He's in there.
Yep.
Felipe Lopez, my brother.
What name a player you wish you would have played with in your prime?
Man, a player I wish I would have played with in my prime. Well, it's not really nobody. Like when I was playing, I didn't want to be in nobody's team. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So when I was playing, but that's such a dumb way to think, because the people on your team are really good too, right? So I was getting calls from a few players that, you know, wanted me on their team, and I was like, nah, I need to beat you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, but it wasn't out of disrespect. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right. Just different.
It wasn't out of disrespect.
Yeah, no.
It was just competitive, you know?
Yeah, competitive nature.
Ah, man. So that was it. I wasn't trying to be nobody's team at that point, but I think Kobe was the one.
I think Kobe
was the one.
That's what's up.
Because to play with LeBron would have been amazing, because, like, he's a mentor, leader. All his friends. You see his friends?
Hustling. Got
you see all his friends?
Going on. Yeah.
So that's, like, you know, that part of the game is super important. I'm sorry to go rambling off about it.
Good. Your dinner table, dead or alive, five people you'd want to have an educational conversation with at dinner, dead or alive.
Whew. I say Mozart.
You haven't had that one yet.
Nice.
I would say that one. Maybe it's whoever was the king of our people before we was brought here from Africa. I don't know his name.
The king of Africa.
I don't
before
even know.
We
whoever was our people before we got here in America.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Two.
Save them a spot.
All right, cool. I would say...
Just say Mansa Musa. He was the richest black man ever.
Okay, Mansa Musa. Yeah. Let's go Mansa Musa. And I would say, what's the other guy that does the science stuff?
Bill Nye?
Not a black guy. The mathematician. Somebody knows his name. Neil deGrasse.
Okay.
Then I would say, Steven Spielberg.
Nice.
Big movie pool.
I would love that
one. Y'all going to be... That's going to be an interesting dinner.
And then I would say... Maybe MIT professor, who right now?
Hey, that's the wildest list I've ever heard. Word. That's going to be a hell of a conversation. Y'all drinking or smoking at that table?
Smoking.
Smoking?
Done.
We're smoking.
Hey, that's a wrap, man. Yeah, Ron. Appreciate you, my brother. It's always a pleasure, man. Gotta have you back, man. Thank you. You can catch this on Showtime Basketball YouTube and the iHeart platform, the Black Effects Podcast Network. See y'all next time.
Peace. This is All the Smoke, a production of the Black Effect and iHeart Radio in partnership with Showtime.